This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
How are you?
Well, I'm fine. It's, you know, quite nice to have been the other side of the desk this morning.
Yeah, we've already done a show today. We did the Scoff and Croft show earlier, which was great fun.
It was a great shock to my system because having done them on Zoom in my little PJs, as you do in your flip-flops.
You had to get dressed to do this one.
I did. Mm. And not just that, you know, this feeling of waking up when it's dark, which I haven't had to do because I've just had my natural body clock waking up when you don't commute and things. So last night I went to bed quite early in preparation, about 10 o'clock, and I said to my Alexa, please wake me up with relaxing classical music at 7 a.m.
And what do we get? We Will Rock You.
No, it wasn't too bad. And then I asked her to put my little salt lamp on so that I wake up gently. But because I knew I was getting up and I was a bit worried about oversleeping to get to the studio in time, nice and early and bushy-tailed, I woke up about 3 a.m, wide awake.
Right.
And then I started chatting to the new husband and woke him up.
Yeah, I'll bet he was pleased.
You know what it's like, and then you wake up, don't you? And then the dog woke up, and then she wanted to go out. And so quite groggy this morning, really.
Yeah,
okay. But I have bought some crystallised ginger with me.
Yeah, yeah, it looks nice.
Yeah, you're not allowed it, are
I'm
you?
Not allowed it, yeah.
But what I said to you was, I mean, you said it's got 10 calories. I don't believe that.
No, it's probably more, actually.
Right, so typical analysis per 100 grams. Well, who's going to eat 100 grams? Well, maybe I would. So what do you want to know? The energy.
Calories. How many calories?
Kilocalories. 300, but that's in 100 grams.
Right.
This is a 400-gram bag, so like a little corner of it. Really.
Yeah.
If you rinsed it under the
table. Yeah, if you licked the sugar off and gave it to me, it'll be fine.
No,
yeah.
I don't think that's COVID-friendly.
No, exactly.
Anyway, Amanda, if you're listening, he has resisted. He's stepped away from the ginger.
Yeah, which is not an easy thing to do.
And he's sucking on a little sugar-free boiled sweet.
Yeah.
Which smells of eucalyptus or something.
No, it's licorice.
Oh, licorice, okay. Yeah. Who might our sponsor be?
Yeah, we've got lots of sponsors, actually.
Really?
Which is lovely, and we do appreciate all of them. The Business Bunker Show is pleased to partner for the month of December, November and December, with Tenterton Chamber of Commerce. And the Tenterton Chamber are supporting their local businesses, and they have an initiative which is the Tenterton Card, which is to help our high street and all other local businesses by encouraging local shopping, which is something we're really behind here on the Business Bunker Show. And I know you are on Scoff and Quaff as well, which is Shop Local. You can find out more about the Tenterton Chamber and the loyalty card by going to their website, which is tentertonchamber.org. So a huge thank you to them for sponsoring the show. And also, we've been sponsored through November, October and November by the lovely folks at the Business Diaries. So do continue to support the Business Diaries as they continue to support us. They've got, obviously, because they can't do the Business Diary events, they've been doing podcasts. But the podcasts have now become a thing as well. So they're going to be doing podcasts and eventually back to doing events as well. So if you want to hear any of the 11 podcasts, the stories that have happened already, you can find them on the Podbean. And new ones will be there. So do go into Podbean and follow them, and then you'll get notified of each of the new ones that comes up. And to do that, you go to businessdiaries.podbean.com.
And a big hello to the lovely Lisa Settle. And I know that she is hobbling around with a little black boot on.
Yeah, and Isla O'Hara.
And Isla. Isla isn't hobbling around with a little black boot.
No, she isn't.
Oh, you shocked me there.
No. It's not an epidemic. It's just Lisa that's hurt her foot.
Yeah.
Now, Isla runs Business Diaries in Tunbridge Wells.
She was actually a guest on, was it last week?
About three weeks ago.
Time flies.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to just give a shout out for this as well. Well done to the winners of the Best Crisis Communications or Response Campaign at the UK Agency Awards. And it was won by Kent's very own KO Digital.
Oh, wow.
You remember Richard Dalton and the team from KO Digital?
Yeah.
KO. And for their campaign on behalf of Watts Farm. So fantastic. Well done to you guys at KO Digital for winning UK Agency Award winner of the Best Crisis Communications or Response Campaign.
Well done. It's great to hear some awards. In fact, I got quite excited when I read your tweet last week and it said Tent was your sponsor, tent somebody or other. I thought
you thought we were going camping.
No, well, I got my thermos ready, and you know, my thermals and all that. No, I thought maybe it was a little gazebo company, yeah. And I thought, oh, events are coming back, or maybe it's for alfresco eating. Yeah, so I like what you did there.
Absolutely. We'd love to hear from you, though, and you can get in touch with us in the usual ways. If you tweet me, Vanilla Web, or Jules Sirkin, and use the hashtag BBunker, we'll gladly read out your tweet. We have had quite a few tweets already. I've got lots of other things to tell you about. I need to tell you about this. Tunbridge Wells Council have asked me to mention to you that they are offering free business training online from an environmental health consultant on how to make and keep your business COVID secure. And that's taking place on the 26th, 27th and 30th of November. If you want to find out more about it or to sign up for the free event, go to eventbrite.co.uk/Tunbridge Wells Borough Council Business. There will be a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website so you can find it. So that's Tunbridge Wells Council offering free business training online from an environmental health consultant on how to make and keep your business COVID secure. And that is a really useful and informative thing to do, because it's something that, you know, we've all struggled with as businesses, is what to actually do to make our environment safe, you know. And you start doing things and loads of people go, that doesn't work, you know. So we're going to hear it from the horse's mouth, as it were, an environmental health consultant who's going to tell us 26th, 27th or 30th of November those webinars are taking place.
Very good. Yeah, we do need a little bit of encouragement. We've had some news from the Biz Diaries talking about them. They say the I know that you said this, but I'll say it again. The Business Diary, they say hello, first of all. The Business Diaries podcast, business storytelling that uncovers the stories about the personal journeys of business owners, often funny, sad, intriguing and always entertaining. And you can follow them, as Paul said earlier, thebusinessdiaries.podbean.com.
Fantastic. The lovely Martin from Charity Buddy has said, we're listening, Paul. Please can I have a shout out on the Business Bunker? Have a good day and have a good show. Yes, of course you are. That's Charity Buddy. Do give them a follow on the Twitter, charity_buddy. And that's the lovely Martin Reeves. Thank you, Martin.
And you can get fresh, locally grown Christmas trees available to buy at the Faversham and Elwick Place stores, with 5% of the proceeds from all tree sales being donated to the Fabulous Pilgrims Hospice. And this is from Macnades, who are in Faversham, a great local haunt of mine. I used to go and have breakfast there, or brunch.
They've got a place in Ashford as well.
Oh, of course. I haven't been to that one. Have you?
I've not been in it. I've been past it.
You have to go in, you know, to get the full experience.
I drove past and parked in the car park because I was going to see my mate Simon Webster, who's just around the corner. So I actually parked next to it.
So you used their free parking and then went somewhere
else. Exactly,
I like what you
did. Hello. Oh, no. I'll be in a minute, don't worry.
He does do nice coffee, being an Italian.
Yeah.
I must pop in there. So where is it from the Channel Radio Studios? Will I find it?
It's in the centre of Ashford. Do you know where Debenhams is?
I don't know Ashford at all.
Okay, well, I can't tell you.
I'll do it on a sat nav.
Yeah.
You are quite good.
It's opposite Debenhams anyway. In the bit of street that is shared traffic space.
Is Debenhams still going? Because it went.
No, probably not.
It closed in Canterbury.
But the building's still there.
Okay, nice. Yeah, it's probably something else now.
Yeah.
But Macnade, so they say, pick up your tree while doing your essential grocery shop, and help make a difference. So I go to the Faversham one. Paul Andrews will be popping into the Ashford one. You've got your turkey already, haven't you?
I've got it ordered.
I've got it clucking around in the garden.
Yeah.
Don't you have a pheasant that taps on your door?
Yeah, I haven't seen him for a while.
Just use him.
I haven't seen it. I've been getting very twitchy. I'm a twitcher. My in-laws bought me a lovely bird table for my birthday.
Right.
And I've spent a fortune on bird food, and it's outside the kitchen door. And I spent hours watching. And yesterday I had a fantastic array of birds.
A lesser spotted kookaburra.
Well, no. There's a family of great tits that use it, and some blue tits, and a couple of robins, and a wren, and some sparrows. And then I had a whole flock, 9, of long-tailed tits, which are really unusual. And then yesterday morning...
You have become a bird watcher.
Then yesterday morning I had 2 jays. Absolutely beautiful.
Oh, did you? See, I don't know the difference between a jay and a magpie.
Oh, totally different.
Has a jay got a blue flash on it?
Jay's blue and brown and with a long tail, and a magpie's black and white, yeah. And the jays are slightly smaller than a magpie.
Do they make that noise?
The interesting thing about that was, of course, until the squirrels turned up, and then all the birds cleared off while the squirrels wedged themselves in the bird table to eat the peanuts?
Well, last year during lockdown, you know, we were obviously living in the garden. We still are actually living in the garden, wrapped up now. But every time we sat out to have a little coffee break, there'll be a rat, you know, coming over the thing. So I stopped feeding the birds. I spent a fortune on Rat Man, and they just kept, you know, galloping around the lawn. But I've started feeding them again. It is nice.
Get yourself a Jack Russell.
Yeah. Are they good for ratting?
They're totally good for ratting.
I don't think we'd tell Cassie that. She wouldn't like a Jack Russell, I don't think. What about cats?
No, they're no good with cats. They're definitely just only rats. Oh, I see what you mean. Sue Boswell, learn about natural health care for all the family. Join one of our free online Zoom sessions Tuesdays and Thursday evenings. Message me for a link. Her Twitter handle is Sue Boswell, B-O-S-W-E-L-L, and the number 8, Sue Boswell 8. Message her to join into her natural health Zoom meetings.
And Leeds Castle Concert is going to make a welcome return. You should do a little trumpet sound now.
There you go.
I thought we had the band in here. One of those up north bands, you know, with all the brass.
Oh, yeah, an umpah.
Proper one.
Oh, no, that's German, isn't it, umpah bands?
Yeah, no, not them.
Yeah, yeah, brass band.
I'm thinking Sally Army, you know.
Yeah, or the Shuttleworth and...
Yeah,
yeah.
Bassoons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All that.
Yeah.
Trombones. One of last year's concert goers described the event as this, Bunker Listener: absolutely fantastic time. Every year we say it gets better, but this year was just amazing. Can't wait to come back again. And the great news is that we're happy to confirm the concert will be back for live music next summer on Saturday the 10th of July. It's not your birthday, is it? Oh no, you're August.
Yeah.
We were so sad to cancel this year's concert, but overwhelmed by the support we received. We'd like to thank our loyal audience who are happy to carry over their tickets. Behind the scenes, we've been working hard to ensure we bring you another spectacular outdoor music event, but above all, a safe one. Leeds Castle has secured the We're Good To Go COVID-19 consumer mark and industry standard created by Visit Britain. The mark recognises organisations who have met government and industry COVID-19 guidelines and provides a ring of confidence. Ding! Do you remember that?
I see what you did there. Yeah.
For businesses, attractions and destinations, as well as reassurance to local visitors and residents, of course, that processes are in place. So the iconic summer event, unique to Leeds Castle, will welcome back the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra with the famous conductor and artistic director, John Rigby, and firework finale. And we all need something to look forward to. We have a special offer, Paul Andrews. Two tickets, that's you and Amanda, and a bottle of Prosecco, which I could have because you only, you know, Amanda could have half, I could have that. So I could bring the new husband. We could sit apart on different blankets. So that is for two tickets and a bottle of Prosecco, £115.
Oh, that's not bad.
So not too bad. And you can visit leedscastleconcert.co.uk. That's the website. Or there is a telephone number, 0845 652 6262, for tickets and more. That sounds like fun. And we all need a bit of fun, don't we, at the moment?
We certainly do.
Talking of teeth, you were telling me something about your teeth earlier.
Was that? I bought a scaling thing.
Because they do look very bright and shiny.
Yeah, well, I used to go to a hygienist once every 3 months.
Have it scaled.
You know, yeah, I have a scale and everything. Of course, you couldn't do that during lockdown, so I bought my own machine. Been doing my own dentistry. So if anyone wants any dentist work done, I can do it now.
So does it, one of the ones where it splashes water all around?
No, this is a sonic one. It's just vibrates.
So will you lend it to me?
No.
Can I borrow it?
No. I'm doing the dog's teeth later. I've had a tweet from Amanda Flanders who says, have a great show, we'll be listening in. And she's from Frith Court Livery. And basically, there's an offer here. If you've got a horse and you'd like a free piece of stabling and livery for your horse, in return for doing some work during the week, Amanda would like to talk to you.
Is that mucking out?
Yeah, she needs some help because poor girl, she's doing it all on her own. She's working 14 hours a day doing it all on her own.
Yeah, no, that's what I ruin her nails.
Yeah, yeah. And she's only just launched the business, so there's no income yet to hire staff. She will hire staff eventually, but at the moment there's no income. But she needs help because she's got quite a few horses there already.
You know what she could also have?
What's that?
It must be teenagers around there that are bored, like 17, 18-year-olds that could... I used to do that at the stables when I was young.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it would be a bit much for me, I think, mucking out.
Yeah, for sure. Business Diaries have been on again, so have a great show. So thank you for that. What else have we got? Oh, Tracy Ann Barker, Tabba_official. Howdy, Business Bunker crew, Vanilla Web and Jewel Cirque. Been busy with some project work over the last few weeks. Been listening on Catch Up. Thanks for the mentions and keeping us all informed. Have a great show today and we'll tune in later. Thanks a lot. And that's the lovely Tracy Ann Barker on the Twitter. You can follow her at Tabba, Tabba_official.
And this is the Music Man concert project. I'm writing to invite you and your colleagues, Business Bunker, to join the Music Man project, which is Kent Medway, on Sunday the 13th of December. So it's quite imminent. And it's the online Christmas concert. It's at 3 p.m. It's an hour-long concert and it will feature some of the new Christmas repertoire, as well as old favourites from past concerts, pieces recorded live from our Zoom room sessions and others put together especially for the concert, but all delivered with the usual Music Man project flair and enthusiasm by the amazing musicians. It'll be broadcast on YouTube and Facebook, and a link will be sent out nearer the time so that you can join us on YouTube, or if you're on Facebook, keep an eye out for more details on the Music Man project Kent page. It's free to watch, but they would love you to make a small contribution or donation towards the project. So every single donation goes to support the work that we do and make a huge difference to the wonderful performers that we support. So you can go to justgiving.com fundraising. Is it on the Kent Business Radio website?
Sunny is.
So go to kentbizradio.co.uk and click on the justgiving.com, the Music Man project. You'll find it up there. And it's Sunday the 13th of December.
Fantastic. Thank you. Do you know what? I think it's time to hear from our first guest.
I do.
It was a pleasure. We caught up earlier in the week with the lovely Pam Locke and Mike Eady from Locke Associates Group. Locke are a HR law firm, specialist law firm in Tunbridge Wells. And we talked to Pam and Mike about wellbeing and mental health in the workplace. Let's hear what I have to say.
Yeah, let's.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker show this Tuesday afternoon, Pam Locke and Mike Eady of Locke Associates Group. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Afternoon. Thanks for having us.
It's an absolute pleasure. Hi. Now, we've spoken to Pam before, which is lovely. We've not met Mike before, so it's a pleasure to meet you, Mike. Thank you both for joining us. Can we kick off by you just giving us an overview of Locke Associates in general and then what it is that you do?
So I'll start first because it was me that set up the business many moons ago in 2007. So Locke Associates Group comprises a number of businesses. So we've got Locke Employment Law, and that's employment lawyers that provide advice to employers mainly, but we also act for individuals as well. And we've got HR Advise Me, which is a group of HR consultants that work alongside the lawyers, but they're supporting businesses and trying to help them manage the day-to-day HR aspects of their businesses. And we can take over the whole thing for you and take that pain away if it is a pain, or that pleasure. Or we can just jump in and out and do projects for you. So, for example, if you're buying a business and you need some help with two pay transfers, to use the technical terms, we can do that. And then the other side of it is obviously, you know, alongside the litigation side, the dispute side of things that the lawyers sometimes get involved in, we also have a mediation side, which is trying to resolve disputes, ideally before they get to court and reach that point. But obviously, if it does end up there, we can try and resolve it quite quickly. And Mike's joined us really with a focus to develop Locke Health and the wellbeing side of the business. And that's really important at the moment because everybody's mental health, obviously, needs to be good in a good place.
Sure.
So I'll let Mike explain what he's going to be doing.
Yeah, thank you, Pam.
Yeah, thanks, Pam. So What I'm looking to do really is to build a well-being offering for Lock Associates, so that we can actually provide really good advice to our clients, both existing clients and hopefully some new clients, on how they can really, really nurture people's well-being, whether they're working in the traditional workplace or whether they're actually working at home. Mm. What I bring to this really is quite a lot of experience working in this field for quite large sort of PLCs, where what I've really focused on is moving away from the traditional sort of dialogue around health and safety.
Yeah.
Because people tend to find that a bit boring, quite frankly. Mm. And actually looking at what we actually mean by a much wider subject, which is well-being, which includes health and safety, but allows you to talk about well-being without getting trapped in the usual health and safety kind of cliches.
Sure.
The subject tends to bring with it.
Yeah.
So my view really is that in terms of well-being at work, there are five aspects to it, really. The first one is health and safety. Mm. That is, you know, keeping people healthy, making sure they can thrive from a health point of view, both mentally and physically, also making sure they're safe. So that's a key element of well-being. Mm. The second one is security. People need to feel secure at work, both in a sense that they're secure in their role, but also that they're actually physically secure.
Yeah.
And this is becoming more and more important, particularly working in big cities.
Mm.
And the third thing really is the working environment, and making sure that you've got a really positive working environment so people can actually almost pick up the signals from the work environment. So if you walk into a really smart, well-presented office environment where everything's in its place, everything's really tidy, the signals that come out of that for you as an individual are very positive, and you kind of behave in that way. It's a bit like when you go into someone's home and the home is really tidy and really smart. The first thing you probably do is take your shoes off.
Yep.
And when you think about the respect for the place you're there. But if you walk into the place and look, it's a bit of a tip, you probably don't bother. So your behaviour definitely is affected by the environment around you.
Sorry to interrupt. You made me smile there because I had a really funny incident over shoes. A couple of years ago, I had a brand new carpet fitted. And the afternoon of the day I had it fitted, somebody turned up to change my electricity meter, for a new smart meter. And I asked the chap to take his boots off at the door, and he got the right hump and stomped off and reported me for refusing to let him in.
Oh.
It is unbelievable. But yeah, you're right. Normally, normal people would take their shoes off.
Maybe you've got holes in your socks. And
yeah, I guess that's what it was.
They're the three, and there's two more things I want to retouch on briefly.
Yeah.
The other one is relationships. So well-being at work is around having really good relationships, not just with your boss, but with your colleagues, with the people you work with. And then finally, a sense of purpose.
Yeah.
So a really good sense of well-being, if you don't actually understand what you're trying to achieve, won't be positive. So if you think about working in a workplace, all of those five things can be addressed quite easily and can be controlled, and a good leadership team can put in place really good systems to make sure you've got all those five factors in place.
Mm.
However, when people are working from home, working remotely, you can't control the environment.
Yep.
So the employer can't control the environment. So straight away, that's one of those five things that's falling away. Certainly can't control relationships. I mean, walking into the office and just having the crack and saying hi and having a cup of tea before you set off to work, before you set yourself off to work, it's a great way to get going. You can't do that if you're on Zoom call. You don't really have that time, and the relationships aren't there.
Yep.
And of course, in terms of safety, it's probably safe at home. And actually, I can give you an interesting story about one of the most severe injuries I knew anyone encounter in my last job was when someone tripped over working at home and broke her ankle.
Wow.
That was
classed
as a workplace injury because she was technically working at home.
Yeah.
But if you can't control the mental health aspect, and we know that people working at home are really struggling with loneliness. We know just on the news today, it's talking about how people are struggling to build relationships from working at home. And even now with the much shorter working day and the kind of winter months and the general gloom you get with the sort of this part of the season, it drives people's good sort of vibes down a bit. So
I think you're absolutely right. I think you're absolutely right there, Mike. And of course, that's the difference with lockdown two to lockdown one. In lockdown one, it was in the spring and summer. You could, if you had a garden, you could go out into the garden. At least, if you lived in town, you could open your front door or open the windows. In the winter, in the autumn and winter, it's not so conducive to being stuck at home all day. And I totally empathise with that. I actually work at home a lot anyway and always have done, even though I have multiple offices. So I like to avoid going to the office. but when you definitely can't go out, it's got that psychological thing about it as well that makes you feel trapped. Even if you're used to working at home, you think, I'd like a break now. I'd like to go out. And, I can't. So I totally get what you're saying there.
And, of course, it was a remarkable spring, wasn't it? It was almost from the day the lockdown was announced, the sun started shining, and it kind of stayed that way. So, I mean, they're the five things that I think are really important about wellbeing. Yeah. And what we're looking to do here at Lock is to say, well, look, if you want to work with us, we can actually put in place strategies, policies, processes, systems to really address each of those aspects of wellbeing to make sure that whether you've got people still working in the traditional workplace, whether you've got people working at home, we can actually make sure that we can give you our support and our expertise to put the best possible solutions in place to make sure that you can be confident that the well-being of your people is at the highest possible level.
Sure. Well, let's explore some of those things. I mean, well-being has always been an important thing anyway. I think it's been exacerbated by both lockdown and this move towards working from home. And I think, interestingly, even when we come out of the pandemic and the lockdown and all the rest of it, I think working from home is going to become a thing, or certainly working flexibly. Now, interestingly, I actually own a business that's a hybrid between those two things. I own a community business which offers community space. So it's not our business. It's not home working, but it's not in someone's single office. Yeah, it's a space where normally we have 120 businesses.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. So that, and a lot of it's open plan because it's hot desking and shared space. So of course, during the pandemic, in order to try to stay in business, which is difficult, we've had to put in place measures to keep the environment as safe as we possibly can, which involves cleaning it every day and disinfecting it every day and putting up partitions and having one-way systems. So all the kind of things that you're advocating, Mike, I get entirely because we've had to be doing that for the last couple of months. So that's the kind of thing that you're saying that you can help people to do, because you know when we started on this process, we had no idea. You know, we started doing some things like we were fogging, for instance, if you're familiar with that. And then people going, well, it doesn't work. You don't bother with that. And we're going, oh, really? You know, so we're kind of doing things by the seat of our pants. So having someone like you that's a professional on tap to help is ideal, really, isn't it? Because we can go, right, come on, Mike, what do we do? So in those circumstances, I'd be interested to know what your procedures are for helping someone like me. If I came to you and said, okay, Mike, I need your help, what do I do? What's the processes? How do you go about it?
Well, we've got a model that we think is the right model. It's basically, you can imagine, like a pyramid, a triangle, kind of an equilateral triangle. And at the very top of that, we have what would be your promise. So what's your promise to your people? And we could work with you to develop that promise.
Right.
So if you're an organization, now what's your promise around well-being? And how are you going to word that? It might just be a statement that it signals your intent as an organization. And we will work with you to come up with a really positive, innovative well-being promise.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a vision, if you like, or a mission statement.
Yeah.
And then below that, we would have a series of policies. And depending on the kind of business you are, those policies, which most companies have got their own policies, but they don't tend to be written in a way that really relates to people. And we would relate those policies in a way that is plain English, people really understand. So, you know, for example, let's talk about working remotely, working at work. You should have a display screen equipment process where people are checked on a regular basis to make sure that they're operating their computer and screen effectively. A lot of companies don't do that, quite frankly, but you have to do it. It's a legal requirement.
Right.
But some companies might have a policy to do that, but they never actually follow it through.
Yeah.
So we will put the policy in place,
right,
and then below the policy would be a series of processes. We actually say, so, you know, how are we going to make that work then? Who's going to provide that facility? Yeah. How often is it going to be checked? And so underneath the processes, then you then sit what we call checks and audits. So you'd have someone might come around and make physically sure that's been done.
Yeah.
And then finally, what you have at the very bottom of the pyramid, you imagine this pyramid, at the very bottom, you've got the resources around training, toolbox talks, briefings, team meetings, huddles, where messages that come out from your business to talk about each of those policies, support them. So you've got a kind of a hierarchy.
Yeah.
And what we would typically do is we would try, before we apply that pyramid, what we would typically do is really, you know, try and understand the situation your business is in. That would normally be done by maybe doing a simple kind of questionnaire.
Yeah.
So that could be a kind of simple kind of survey monkey for a few people.
Sure.
Or it could be a more complicated or complex kind of process where we would actually carry out some interviews of some of your people to ask how they're feeling. It might be we'd come and have a look around and do a bit of a physical audit under different conditions. And we would then say to you as an employer, this is what we think your landscape looks like in terms of well-being. This is what we think good could look like. This is the gap. And going back to that pyramid, what are the policies, systems, processes, training, intervention we need to put in place to make sure that all happens so you actually live up to that promise that you've made to your people?
Absolutely. And you're right. You're even though you didn't express it in these terms, this is me paraphrasing it. There's a lot of organisations that will tick some boxes by saying, oh, we've done that. And then once they've ticked the box, they walk away and get on with something else, and they don't actually implement it. It's just, you know, they're just a policy entry in a policy manual, but isn't followed up on. So you're absolutely right, and I get what you're saying about that hierarchy of things that need to be done from implementing the process right the way down to actually doing it. Just as another interesting aside, I know some people that work quite extensively in the health and safety arena. And one of the things that drives them nuts is organizations that tell people they can't do things because of health and safety legislation. And they go, it's nonsense. It's utter nonsense. Yeah. Health and safety legislation doesn't stop you doing anything. It just tells you how to do it in the right way. And that's part of the same syndrome, isn't it? Where people start to use it as a weapon instead of actually using it as something to make your working environment conducive to good work.
Yeah, and it does bring some baggage with it, unfortunately. So, I've been in the industry for quite a while, and if you're in better times, you're in the pub chatting away, well, what do you do? Then I'm a health and safety professional. Oh, okay, move on. It's not like particularly exciting, is it? But I've tried to change that and actually turn it away from a kind of a, you know, something that's dull and boring. So all the kind of communications we would use around safety and about well-being here at LOP would be playful.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be formal, they'd be playful. There would be, if you see one of the posters we'd develop for you, one of the communications, it would be thought-provoking, it would be eye-catching. I spent a couple of years working in a marketing team. In the insurance industry, just because I wanted to learn more about marketing and customer communications. And we developed really good comms packages for customers around how to, you know, persuade them to buy our insurance products. I learned so much around good communications and poor communications. And health and safety traditionally isn't communicated very well. It tends to be threat-centred. You know, if you do this, something bad's going to happen to you. What I try and do is actually say, well, look at all the good things that happen. People have a safe day. They don't get injured. Let's celebrate that and talk about the good days when no one got injured, rather than focusing on the bad days when, you know, someone got injured maybe, you know, once in every 3 or 4 months. So it's turning that on its head, really.
And I think it's also about being proactive, isn't it? Because I think one of the things is, I mean, obviously as an employment lawyer on the HR side of things, we often see it when it's gone wrong, when something's not right, you know, when somebody's become quite mentally unwell or there's been an accident. And actually, I'm a great believer in preventing things, actually trying to step in. So let's step in before somebody starts feeling isolated and, let's try and do something about it. And you know, we are working with clients that are recognising that, but mainly because they've had people that have raised it. And often that takes quite a lot for somebody to come to you and say, do you know what, I'm feeling really isolated at the moment and left out. And And that means it's probably reached quite a serious point already. But, yeah, you know, it'd be great to be able to avoid that happening and have, you know, a bunch of people that are working from home who are feeling as, you know, as best they can do in that sort of environment and happy. Because that's what it is. Happy people is going to mean more productive people generally.
Absolutely, absolutely. I want to touch on some of those issues because I think you're absolutely right, Pam. And the psychological well-being of people at work is important and has always been important. And again, at the moment, under present circumstances, that is being stretched and strained to the limit. Sadly, I know more people that have taken their own lives than I do have died of COVID in this pandemic. And that is not nice. Now, they're mostly business owners that have seen their business completely crash due to, you know, the circumstances we're in. But of course, where we are, not knowing what's happening from day to day, worries about children's education, all kinds of issues that we're kind of familiar with now, are piling themselves in on people, and how we maintain people's psychological well-being at work, especially if they're not in the office, if they're at home, and we can't see them all the time, is a difficult one. And I just want to raise an issue, and I'd like your thoughts on it, both of you, please. When I was a young man, which was a very long time ago, and I was in the very early stages of starting my business, I had a member of staff that had a psychotic episode at work. And that terrified me because as the owner of that business and the manager, one, I was scared for them, but two, I didn't know what to do. I'm not a psychologist. I didn't know how to handle that. Not only didn't I know how to handle that from a personal point of view, you know, like just person to person, this person, as well as being a member of my staff, was a friend and colleague. So I didn't know how to handle it from a functional point of view, and I didn't know how to handle it from a legal point of view either. You know, like, you know, what do I, you know, I don't want to make this worse, but what do I do? So I just want your thoughts on that, because that was scary from both points of view, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, one of the things, I mean, I have got a client who had exactly the same experience, and one of the things that we did with them was we put in place mental health first aid training for them.
Right.
And that is normally done face-to-face.
Right.
And obviously with COVID, we've had to move that online. So that's something that our guys can do. But, I mean, it's very effective in terms of training staff so they can assist, but they also can pick up signals as well. We can pick up. You know, they effectively are the eyes and ears, but they're trained, so they know what they're looking for, and they can intervene. And I don't know, is there anything else you want to add on that, Mike?
No, I think it's a really good point. I think it's, you know, when you, if you're a business owner, you'll know that you have to have first aiders in the business, because if someone trips over and breaks their ankle or burns themselves in the kitchen, you need to have someone that relates to it. So, you know, unfortunately, it's not a legal requirement to have mental first aid. Trained as a mental health first aider, and having worked in businesses where there are lots of them, it does make a big difference at two levels. Firstly, it means that, in your example, someone who's qualified and trained can actually support that person.
Yeah.
But actually, they kind of change the agenda of it, and those people don't, you know, there's so many stigma about mental health, and people don't like to talk about it at work. But if you're a mental health first aider, you encourage people to talk about it.
Yeah.
And it brings a conversation much more to life around mental health, and allows people to bring all of themselves to work, which is so important. You know, I may be a bit depressed today, but what I'll do is I won't come to work. I'll say I've got a bad back, because people will judge me if I'm depressed. They won't if I've got a bad back.
Yeah.
It turns it on its head and actually allows me to say, I'm feeling rather depressed today, so I'm going to seek some treatment or whatever. It allows you to talk about it, which doesn't really happen, is it?
And one of the things I like about what you said with psychological first aid training is presumably if we've done that, there's a fair chance we might spot this developing before it goes the full route, absolutely. You know. And I think for me, back in my example, that, you know, if I'm really honest with myself, I could probably tell there was something wrong, and you just went, hopefully that will sort itself out, because you didn't really know what to do. And then it got worse and worse until you know, eventually you've got a problem that you've got to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing about the mental health first aiders is that they're there to try and spot those signals, those symptoms, those sort of changes, and then proactively talk to the person and try and encourage them to speak to them. And I think that, again, is a bit of a challenge when we're working from home, because a lot of the time, you know, that's something that you can spot in the office environment much easier. Yeah. I mean, I was talking about the first lockdown to my colleagues, and I was saying I was concerned about, you know, younger staff and missing out on training, because actually one of the key things you find when you're in the office is you learn just being around people. So by a similar sort of analogy on the mental health wellbeing side of things, you do pick up a vibe. So if somebody's feeling a bit stressed, you know, you can get them in the kitchen while they're having a coffee and say, "Everything all right?" You have a chat with them. Much more difficult to pick that up at home. And I think that then needs a bit more training. So I think actually you need some specialist training actually to be able to manage remotely, which again is something that we've been offering because we recognise it's challenging. It's challenging managing staff anyway at the best of times, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And but you know, for me, I'm so pleased about what you said in terms of being able to offer that as a service, because I think for most, certainly in small businesses, where, you know, they're normally owner-managed, and the owner of the business isn't even necessarily a manager, if you see what I mean. You know, if they're a florist shop, they're actually a florist, or, you know, if it's a plumbing shop, they're a plumber. So they don't even had basic management training, let alone, you know, anything like this. So the ability to offer that kind of training, I think, is massively important. And I'm really pleased that it's something that you guys do, because I just see a massive need for that.
And I wouldn't be surprised if the government decides to make it a legal requirement going forward.
Yeah.
And I think particularly if there's more people working from home, I think there could be a requirement to do that, really just to try and protect people and help them.
Yeah.
But also, obviously, cynical side of me thinks, well, actually, you know, obviously the government wants as many people in work as possible. They don't want them off sick on long-term absences. And of course, we all know that if somebody goes off sick with depression, the longer they're off, they're more likely they're going to, you know, have a longer-term depressive condition. And one of the other things that we do is our HR medical specialists get involved at an early stage to talk to people.
Right.
And again, that's something else that's useful. You know, alongside the mental health training, is actually having, you know, they're basically medical professionals who've got HR experience, so they know how to have a conversation with a member of staff to really find out what's underpinning perhaps a drop-off in performance or some attitude, some aggression that they're showing at work. Yeah. You know, and quite often it's, you know, there's some personal issue that they don't want to talk to the manager about, but they're quite open about it to the HR medical specialist, and then we can work with them, because sometimes they might need a bit of counselling.
Yep.
They might need some form of coaching. And again, you know, that's something that we can sort of offer that helps businesses then get the best out of people. And it doesn't cost a lot of money to do these things, but you can actually get an awful lot out of it.
Absolutely. And I've heard it said, you know, the problem or the issue with psychological and mental health issues, of course, is that we're whole people, and our well-being or not is generated by everything in our environment, not necessarily just at work. And of course, in the past, there was this attitude that, well, you know, what happens at home stays at home, what happens at work happens at work. Well, you just can't go on like that, especially in a modern world where everything is integrated. And, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, work never switches off for me. My phone goes off, my email goes off at ridiculous times of the day, night, evening, weekend. So, you know, we can't just push things out and say, no, you know, well, you've got a problem with your relationship at home. That's nothing to do with us at work. You've got to switch off and come to work. But
I think that's a really important point, Paul. I think the other thing that's important is to think about the role of the leader.
Yeah.
No, so all that we've talked about this afternoon, you know, people working at home, you know, people's mental health, safety. Actually, it's the line manager's responsibility to be aware of all these things. And so often, people see themselves as manager and not a leader.
Yeah.
And I think people need to understand the difference. And one of the things we can do really, I think, quite effectively is kind of coach people to really understand that actually, at times like this, your responsibility as a leader is not just to get the job done. Yep. It's about, you know, when you give Mike a call, because Mike's working from home, and you say, right, so our weekly catch-up, Mike, it's not always about, you know, so how have you achieved your KPIs this week? How many sales have you got, et cetera, et cetera? How many hours have you put in? It's actually how you're feeling.
Yeah.
How are you getting on? What's happening in the world? You know, have you been out for a break today?
Yeah.
I saw you were working really late last night. You know, is there a reason? Can I help you? Are you struggling with your workload? Yeah. That email you sent out at 11:30 last night, I mean, thank you. I really appreciate it. But actually, it's something we can do to manage the workload a bit more effectively.
Yeah.
And I don't think every manager sees themselves as a leader. And we believe it's leadership that counts, and we actually believe that, you know, so as Pam said, through kind of coaching, we can actually get people to understand their leadership responsibilities. Of course, a good leader will get so much more out of people.
Absolutely. And I think especially, and I'm very passionate about small and medium-sized businesses, but I think especially in SMEs, that is the case. Again, coming back to my original point about owner-managers of businesses, you know, not only aren't they leaders, they probably aren't even managers. You know, they just own the business and therefore by default get to run everything. So I think it's really important what you're doing and what you're offering. And I love everything you said. I'm going to come back in a moment and ask you to tell us how to find out more about it. But we're running up close against the end of the interview time. And I just want to come back to something that Pam mentioned in her introduction, which is your mediation services.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of experiences, and I wish I knew you guys when I was younger. But in my young days, I ended up in a couple of tribunals. I actually won one, and that's almost unheard of for an employer, isn't it? But what would have been much nicer is to save all that grief and cost, but the grief more than anything, and to mediate a response. So I'm interested in a quick overview, Pam, if you wouldn't mind, of the mediation services that you offer.
So our mediators are accredited mediators. So there's certain organisations that put you through, you know, quite lengthy training to be a proper mediator. So at the moment, you know, you could call yourself a mediator, but actually are you trained? Because there's a special process you need to go through in terms of trying to get a resolution. But mediation is all about trying to find what is some commonality between the two parties, and then building on that to try and walk away with a deal between the two that you can live with effectively. But you're not there as a mediator to judge. You're there to try and help the parties find a resolution. And you're right, it is a way to, you know, make massive cost savings, because you can achieve so much in a day's mediation, as in you can walk out and it's resolved, you've got a binding agreement, but it only works if both parties want to take part in it. So it's a voluntary process. It's confidential, which is also quite good, because the last thing you want to do is go into a tribunal, which is a public forum, and have your, I'm going to call it your dirty washing hanging out. This way you can keep everything confidential, you can cut down on the costs, and you just need a really good mediator. And I think we have got great mediators that can come in and try and make it happen. And, you know, the rates are excellent for mediation in terms of getting resolution. I think it's in excess of 80% of cases you resolve through a one-day mediation. And it also works in the workplace when you've got issues between two parties, you know, where you've maybe got, you know, two colleagues that have fallen out. You don't want to lose them because it's going to be expensive to replace them. So why don't you try mediation between them? And that's something that we're seeing, and increasingly employers are moving towards. And getting somebody in who's not associated with a business like us can make such a difference, because, again, absolutely, people will open up and talk about it as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. Listen, it's been a pleasure to talk to you this afternoon. Thank you so much. If people want to find out more about the whole range of services you offer, what's the best way to do that?
I'll go to our website, which is www.lockassociates.co.uk, or Google us, Lock Associates Group, and you'll find us there. Or you can Google me, Pam Lock, and I'm sure you'll find Mike Edie as well.
Fantastic. We've put a link to that on the radio website as well, so people can find it there. Pam Lock, Mike Edie, Lock Associates Group, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. We'll talk to you again soon. Enjoy your afternoon.
Thank you.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Lock Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially-minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. That was Pam Locke and Mike Eady of Locke Associates Group talking about an incredibly important aspect of business life at the moment, which is mental well-being and health, and how important it is. And as we discussed in that interview, the offerings they have to help owners and managers to cope with the issues that they face amongst their staff and colleagues feeling stressed and under pressure. And suffering in all kinds of ways, as we all are at the moment, due to the madness that's going on.
Yeah, it is scary. And I guess the only sort of thing that's slightly better is that the children are back at school, so mm-hmm. they're not juggling at home, also trying to teach their children. So mm-hmm. that's one thing that perhaps the mental health of youngsters is slightly more stable, let's hope. But I still think, you know, it's like body language, isn't it? I was saying to you, I just went to the loo in the corridor at the Channel Radio
thing. You don't want to go to a loo in the corridor.
I was walking in the corridor with my little mask on, and then this lovely man came along, and normally you just swank past each other, but there's a just difference. We shied away from each other, and you know, I said hello, and not
and he looked terrified.
He did. Yeah. Well, I don't know what he said back because it was muffled because he was wearing a mask. Ted Folkestone, the TED Talks. The event is Saturday, the 27th of February next year. I can barely think about next year, Paul Andrews. Early bird tickets are currently available, and you can go to tedxfolkestone.com/attend. It'll be an online event, they say, but we've got big plans to get creative with the talk videos, as well as having lots of breaks and breakout activities. We're currently also doing a mascot design competition for 11 to 18 year olds. More information if you go to that website and just look for mascot for 2021. And there's also on that website, tedxfolkestone.com, if you do //, you'll see speakers, and you can get the list of the 8 speakers they got this year.
Fantastic. There's lots of activity on the Twitter talking about that interview with Locke Associates Group there, with lots of follow-up and information, which is good. We're still getting lots of other tweets as well, and we're getting lots of bird-related tweets too. I mentioned my bird table earlier on. So,
do you have fat balls on there?
I do. Yeah.
But don't you find that the starlings get all mine? They hog them.
Do you know, I never have starlings. I rarely have starlings in my garden.
Really? I have nothing but starlings in the front garden. On the seafront, we get loads of really bullyish starlings who hog it.
I get the occasional gull.
Do you? You get gulls where you are?
Yeah.
Where have they come from?
The sea.
That's a bit of a long way to Tenterden.
No, it's not actually. It's 9 miles.
Oh, is it? Which sea have you got there?
Well, just off the coast of Rye.
Of course.
And, of course, if there's a storm out at sea, it drives them inland. Yeah. No, we don't get many starlings. I got ducks and moorhens and pheasant and all kinds.
I saw lots of pheasants on my way home after last week's Business Bunker. Right. Loads of pheasants trotting about around the Eastwell Manor.
Right.
Lots.
Athelbrey have been on, hoping to listen in live for a change. We're doing our annual reverse advent calendar this December for the local food bank in place of corporate Christmas cards. If any businesses are able to do the same in this area, it really helps those in need, especially in these trying times. And this is how it works. You have a box, and each day you add an item to the box, you know, a food item or a drink item. And on Christmas Eve, you donate the entire contents to a food bank.
Good idea.
What a brilliant idea. Fantastic. Do it. Let's all do it.
Yeah.
Construct UK have said they're listening in. Thank you. What else have we got here?
City osteopaths have perked up as well.
All of your commercial property needs handled in the southeast of England by Michael Parks Surveyors, MPSL on the Twitter. Do give them a follow. And I can't find this tweet from Kim, and I saw it earlier, so it's definitely there. And I definitely want to read it out because I missed the one she sent before.
You keep looking and I'll read this out.
Thank you.
Can you help us make Christmas special for local families who may have little or nothing under their tree this Christmas morning? Romney Resource Centre is teaming up with local organisations and individuals in Hythe and Romney Marsh areas to help the local children this Christmas. And as you know, coronavirus has thrown up all sorts of challenges for so many this year. And they say that we're determined to make a difference, and you can get involved by donating a toy. Bring a new and unwrapped donation of toys to one of our donation points. And also you can send a gift direct if you're unable to donate a physical toy. You can buy a gift online and send it to, and the address is Romney Resource Centre, Unit 4, Mountfield Road, T for Tiger, N for Norman, 28, 8, L for Lima, H for Harry. Age UK, Stade Street, Hythe.
Horrid.
And also the Hythe Salvation Army in Portland Road. You can drop off there. So there is a little website link to donate money to buy a gift if you want, which is www.justgiving.com/Hythe SA, S for sugar, A for Anthony, Christmas appeal. I'm writing toy appeal in the comments. That will be on Kent Business Radio, I'm sure, as well.
Fantastic. I found my tweet.
Have you? I saw. Hallelujah.
Yeah. From the lovely Kim Stevens of Care in Kent. I'd love a Business Bunker shout out, please, for all the Care in Kent homework carers in Ashford and Folkestone. A massive thank you to our Care in Kent teams for their outstanding care and devotion every single day. If you see us out and about, give us a wave. And that's love from Kim, of course. And they do a fantastic job, and all power to them. And congratulations on keeping us all safe and well and looking after us. We really do appreciate it. There's loads of stuff here about birds in the garden. Athelbrave have said, we recycled the orange halves from yesterday's orange curd preparation.
Oh, we had orange curd.
Yeah, that's, and they're hanging weakness. In the garden filled with seed. Not sure they're supposed to be strong enough to support the pigeon that has been making use of them this morning, but the local robin and finches are enjoying them.
Absolutely. One word to say to that pigeon.
Yeah.
What is it?
Catch that pigeon.
Pie.
Oh, pie. Do you remember to stop that pigeon? Catch pie. That pigeon. Stop that pigeon. What was it called?
What was it?
Muttley and Dastardly and Muttley.
Oh yeah.
Stop that pigeon. Stop that pigeon.
Yeah.
Stop that pigeon.
Yeah. No, I don't remember. I remember the laugh.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's Muttley.
I can't really do it because if I do that, I wheeze and cough at my age.
You what?
I wheeze.
Oh, you wheeze.
Yeah, not the other.
Yeah, right, okay.
Did you know that SMEs in Kent with ambitions to do business across the channel have got the opportunity to take part in a special online conference next week? Did you know that?
Yeah.
It's been organised as part of the Innovative Sector Exchange, the ISE project, which provides support to businesses based in Kent, Hauts-de-France, East Flanders, West Flanders, and the southwest of the Netherlands. And to register, you can. The event will run from 1:30 to 3:30. So you can register by emailing natasha.white@kent.gov.uk, and it'll be on Kent Business Radio, no doubt, as well. But that's a good one, isn't it? You know, we all need to start looking at business across the channel.
Absolutely. Charity Buddy have followed up on the Lock Associates interview, and they're saying, very interesting listening to Lock Associates. I think wellbeing at work should be law. One employer asked the staff to fill out an anonymous wellbeing questionnaire. Soon after doing it, I got pulled into the office and got shouted at for not being happy. My boss had recognised my handwriting. That's outrageous.
Really?
That's outrageous.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
And not good for morale. Athelbrae are saying, a great interview with Lock Associates. We're seeing a big upturn in businesses requesting training for mental health for staff. It's really sad it's needed, but fantastic investment is being made in people to provide much needed support.
Absolutely. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom now.
Oh, is it that time?
It is.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
Channel Radio News Update.